The Alan Watts iPhone app is now available on the iTunes App Store, featuring the entire Alan Watts podcast series at your fingertips. Visit alanwattsapp.com for more information.
Now, down at the base of the spinal column, according to the chakra system, there is what's called the Kundalini, which is the serpent power. And the symbol of the serpent power is an inverted triangle with a phallus upright and erect and a sleeping serpent coiled all the way around the phallus. That is, in other words, involution, to be absolutely involved. And the sex symbol is used again because sex stands for, symbolically, complete involvement. Now, when you've got in, the trick is to get out. See? So then, the process of yoga is represented as waking up that sleeping serpent, who is under the sleep of Maya, who's captivated by illusion, and thinks that the world really exists. In other words, the female echo of himself, or the male echo of herself, has captivated you. Memory has caught you, and you think it's all really there, and you don't realize that there's only the eternal now. And you need to know that in order not to get quite lost. Because if you go out to any one end of the spectrum, you forget you're there. That's sort of a non-existence. You can't really non-exist. You'll always come back eventually. But if you get one extreme too much, you don't know you're there. So then, the symbol is that you draw up the energy located in the Kundalini, which is the sex center, and you send it back up the spinal tree to the top again, from which it came. Now, this is the theory of sex yoga. The theory is that the male and the female partners, who, as I explained yesterday, are husband and wife, or some kind of spiritual marriage, what they do is this. The male sits in the normal meditation posture, and the female sits on top of him, wrapping her legs round his waist and her arms round his neck, and he holds her round the waist. And in this position, they arouse the sexual force. Now, the theory goes on to say this, that instead of dissipating this energy in the ordinary way, having aroused it, they send it up the spinal tree, back into the brain. Now, don't take this literally. This is a symbolism. It's just the same kind of superstition as thinking that heaven is somewhere up in the sky, and that there really are streets of gold and angels wandering around in nighties with harps. All this is a way of talking about inner anatomy, psychic anatomy. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he went right into the middle of himself and disappeared. You know? And like the gates of heaven, they are pearls. People think the pearly gates are gates covered in pearls. There's nothing of the kind. The gates of heaven are pearls. Each one is one pearl. And you know, a pearl has a very thin hole through it for the thread to go in. And that's why a camel can't go through the eye of a needle. Because you have to become no one to get through that hole. And that's why the idea of many incarnations is likened to beads strung together on a thread. And this thread is called the Sutra Atman. Sutra is a thread. Atman, the self, the threading self that hangs all the beads together. But it's so thin, you see, that it's like nobody. The real you. You have to divest yourself of all hang-ups, you see, to discover the real you. Well, we're back again to the thing of pulling the snake up the tree, the serpent power up. You have to let go of the hang-ups and realize that there are no possessions, everything's falling away, all your memories are holding on to illusions. Then when you thoroughly understand that, you can go back in. So you've got a marvelous picture of the world as a sort of systole and diastole of attachment and detachment, attachment and detachment. And this takes us right back, you see, the bodhisattva who is liberated, who has let go and is no longer attached, given up memory, and this is the meaning of giving up woman, who is your resonator. Give that up, see, and you find you're free. There's only the eternal now. So the bodhisattva, instead of staying there, goes back in. And there are all sorts of funny symbolic stories about bodhisattvas appearing in the world as whores and all kinds, using every conceivable kind of device in order to liberate other beings. But this takes us completely back, you see, to the original Hindu image of the world as the pralaya and the manvantara. The manvantara is the period in which Brahma manifests himself as multiple beings for 4,320,000 years, and the pralaya is the period in which he withdraws and everything disappears and then starts all over again. And this goes on forever and ever and ever in not only our kind of time but in many other kinds of time and in all sorts of different kinds of spaces. But it's the same fundamental myth recreated in another form. Now you may say this is pretty monotonous. And that is, you see, one of the basic feelings underlying Buddhism. Must we go round again? See? So, indeed, you see, you say, oh, enough of this. Let's go to sleep. Let's stop. Time must have a stop. And so you stop. Well, when you do that, you forget that it ever happened. You see? And this is a marvelous arrangement. Because then it can start all over again without your knowing that it happened before. So you're never bored. And this is a cure for being tired of it. Because if you didn't know, I mean, that's where the memory goes, you see. And so when you come back, there's no problem. At least no problem of boredom, of remembering the past. There's going to be all sorts of new problems. But you won't know you've had any problems before. So that won't worry you. Until you begin to accumulate memories again, and you've had these problems, and it's becoming a bore dealing with problems, and then you get rid of yourself. It's called death. It's a beautiful arrangement for keeping everything young and new. And for keeping the universe running without getting tired of itself. And that's the definition of keeping on. So you see, these are the two motions. They're fundamentally then represented by the male and the female, the in and the out, the now moment, and the memory. See, memory, remember, creates the future as well as the past. You wouldn't know you were going to have anything happen tomorrow unless something had happened yesterday. You figure because the sun rose yesterday and yesterday and yesterday that it will arise again tomorrow. If you didn't remember it, you wouldn't know there was going to be any tomorrow. Because there isn't. Tomorrow is an illusion. So is yesterday. Simply isn't here. Where is it? Bring me tomorrow's newspaper. Now this is perfectly marvelous arrangement, you see. So that you may feel, as you think these things over, that you are almost on the verge of going mad. I sometimes feel that when I get involved in the sort of contemplative state. It is so weird and so far out that I think I'm going to lose my mind. But don't worry. You see, just like being dead. Just let go. And swing with it. Because it'll always bounce. And what makes you, gives you the sense of going mad is that you think you're not in control and that it's all lost and someone else is going to take over. Or something else is going to take over. Well, of course it has to. Because, like you say, when you've driven long enough in the car, you say to your wife, will you drive for a while, please? You want relief. So something else has to take over. But it's all you. So do you see that how the nature of being is constructed in this extraordinarily fascinating way? So that it constantly renews itself and therefore is worth going on by eternal forgetting and getting rid of itself.
Listening to Alan Watts from the Spoken Word Library of the Electronic University. For copies of this and other Alan Watts programs, please go to alanwatts.com on the World Wide Web or call us toll-free at 1-800-WO-WATTS. That's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS. The Watts website features free audio downloads, program lists, and information on Watts' life and works. Once again, that's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS.